Next tonight, the debate over the role of the federal government. The issue was a central focus of last year's presidential campaign, and it is at the heart of a new book by Ken Cuccinelli, Virginia's attorney general and a candidate for governor. Judy Woodruff talked with him recently.
Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
So the book is The Last Line of Defense, The New Fight for American Liberty. Your main theme is about how the federal government has overstepped its authority, that it's taken liberty, it's taken freedom from the American people. And you say this goes back over a long time. So who's responsible?
Well, you can't lay this on one person. This has been a growing process, and we've reached a point under this particular administration where it's happening faster and more brazenly than in my lifetime, in your lifetime, ever before, across the administration. But it isn't new. And we point out in the book, Republicans have done this, other Democrats have done this. It is it's a continual tension between the federal government, typically the executive branch of the federal government, though with health care, you had them all engaged, and everybody else, typically represented by the states. But also, if you look at something like the first NLRB case with Boeing, you know, that's between
a
company.
This is the National Labor Relations Board.
That's right, between an agency and a company. And states can't step in there. They've got to fight for themselves.
You actually go all the way back to the founding fathers, and you write about how they struggled about this balance between power at the center, the federal government versus the power of the states, the people. And you make a case for how they didn't quite get it right. If you could have gone back and looked over their shoulder, what would you have had them do differently in the beginning?
You know, I was having a similar conversation yesterday, and the two things I would do differently, I think the founders would do differently, put more accurately, if they could have looked ahead, were they wouldn't have done lifetime tenure for judges. They'd have had long terms, but not lifetime. And I think they would have done term limits. But those sorts of things.
You mean for members of Congress?
Of Congress and the Senate, yes. And those sorts of things are pretty fundamental, and they're not going to happen now, or at least they're very unlikely. But the kinds of balance of power we're talking about really was much more gradual. If you look at one of those two changes, it's the lifetime judges, actually, because gradually in the end of the 19th century and as we moved into the 20th century, the court, particularly in the New Deal era, really opened up the power of the federal government relative to what it had been perceived to be for the 150 years before. And that opened the door to much more expansive executive power. And we've seen that continue to happen and to grow. And what we talk about in the book is example after example where they're breaking the law or where they're trampling the Constitution. And the states have a role to play. And I'm obviously an attorney general. I represent a state. And we push back. And the founders expected us to do that. That part is working.
You mentioned health care just now,
yes.
And you spent a lot of time in the book on health care. You, as the Attorney General of Virginia, were the very first to sue the Obama administration over health care reform. Well, now fast forward a couple of years. A number of Republican governors around the country are saying they are going to go along with the administration's Medicaid expansion. How do you see that?
First of all, it's worth remembering that in that health care case, there were four constitutional arguments. The smaller government side won three of them. We won three of them. The only reason the law is still standing is because the Chief Justice read the taxing power, what was considered by any of us to be incredibly expansively, and upheld the law with four other votes.
And in fact, you say he may have done irreparable harm to the independence.
I think that he did. I think that
of the court.
I suspect, and I'm speculating here and not applying motives, I think he was very concerned about the view of America of the Supreme Court, and in his desire to have the court be viewed favorably by America and Americans, he overthought where this ought to end up. Because really what a judge ought to do is walk through a process of how to analyze it. Is it constitutional or isn't it on any of a number of bases? And I think what he ended up doing was doing great damage to the view of Americans of the court.
Global warming, though, you say in the book you believe there is such a thing as global warming. You just question how it's being addressed.
I have serious concerns about how it's being addressed. I mean, the proposed reactions, and by that I mean government policies, are phenomenally expensive. They're phenomenally restrictive of opportunities in the economy. They make poor people poorer. And if you go down to Southwest Virginia with me, you will find one industry, the coal industry. It's Appalachia. It's part of the poorest part of America. This administration is attacking that industry and that region of Virginia. Those are the poorest people in Virginia. And when you have this kind of incredible cost, and there are times when huge regulatory costs properly should be absorbed, but we need to be sure before we do that, because these have crushing effects in real people's lives. And they're not rich people, they're poor people. Poor people are hurt first and worst by this sort of regulatory onslaught. And those are the people I'm fighting for.
You're running for governor of the state of Virginia. A number of mainstream Republicans, I guess we'll call them, have looked at the results of last year's election, and they've said the party has got to focus on expanding its appeal to voters who did not vote Republican last year, minorities, women. And they say extreme views are not the views that are going to appeal. How do you look at that argument? What do you say?
Well, first of all, in the context of what I've done as Attorney General, where what I'm most known for, there are a lot of other things I've worked on, whether it's mental health, whether it's protecting the elderly, but what I'm known for as Attorney General is pushing back on the federal government. And there, because that's a confrontational undertaking, there are people who view that uncomfortably in the Republican Party, some of the folks that you mentioned. But the fact of the matter is, of our three lawsuits with the federal government, two of them have had Democrat co-plaintiffs. We just won one last month with Fairfax County, the largest county in Virginia, run by Democrats, saved them about $250 million
so
by beating the EPA.
You're saying you're not out of the mainstream.
Not at all. In fact, Pew Research, at the end of January, had their first ever poll with a majority of Americans saying that they thought the federal government was a serious threat to their rights and liberties. Now, that means we're right in the mainstream. That's not just Republicans. That independents were in a majority, and almost 40% of Democrats said that. So I think there's a serious concern that Americans have woken up to in terms of the role of government and how far it should go and how far it shouldn't go. And I've been active in pushing back on an expansive federal government. I think that's actually being more favorably viewed today than it has in recent years.
Well, we are going to continue this interview online for now. Let me thank you, Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli.
And as Judy mentioned, you can find more of that conversation on our website, including Cuccinelli's views on Medicaid expansion. Also online, a different perspective, courtesy of former Vice President Al Gore, who joined us recently to discuss his new book, The Future: Six Drivers of Global Change.